Thank you for being here again. And now we're going to listen to the story of Shalmaneser number 5. We had a number 3. This is number 5. And as you see, he ruled from 727 till 722. That's a very sad date in history. This also meant the destruction of the last 10 tribes of Israel. I visited a place in an ancient site in Iraq called Ashur. I wish I could spend some more time here. The country's name comes from Ashur, Assyria. And the earlier kings all lived here, and they worshipped this specific god, Ashur. He was the god of war. Now, before Assyrians began a military campaign, they first consulted this cruel god, Ashur. And he always said, yes, go ahead. On one such occasion, they asked Ashur whether they should go up to Israel and destroy the capital of Samaria. Ashur said, yes, go ahead and destroy it. The answer was positive because the devil knew Israel had severed their relationship with Yahweh, their God. If I sever my relationship with God, it means destruction. Then the devil destroys me. Let us ask the Bible to tell us more about this interesting Assyrian king. 2 Kings 17, 1 and 2 says, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea the son of Elah became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. But not as the kings of Israel who were before him. He was a little better. Verse 3 says, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up to attack Hoshea, who had been Shalmaneser's vassal and had paid him tribute. Just look at this Assyrian relief. Cruel soldiers, the best of their time. They never lost a battle. When you study the Assyrian military successes of those days, you can really feel sorry for their victims. They could hit a target at 100 meters with a bow and arrow or with a sling. When they came, victory was assured. The mighty Assyrian army was approaching the 10 tribes with vengeance because the 10 tribes were rebellious. They vacillated between loyalty to Assyria and then loyalty to Egypt. They were opportunists and very, very wicked. And because they have neglected their relationship with God, they had no protection against the enemy. By the way, this is the most important relationship, me as a creature, with the Creator, who maintains me every second of the day. Please, guard this relationship between you and God. Verse 3, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him, and Hoshea became his vassal and paid him tribute money. Verse 4, and the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy. That's bad news. By Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, that's the king, the pharaoh of Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria. Now this was a mistake, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. This again is Samaria. They've identified this Israelite wall, and a lot of work has got to be done here still. Verse 5, now the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. That's a very long time. They should have surrendered the first month. But you know, once you become rebellious, Rebellion destroys you. I was standing on the hill of Samaria, looking over the beautiful surroundings, thinking of what happened here. Please read the book of Kings and Chronicles. There are beautiful stories there, lessons to be learned. Can you imagine the plight of starving Israelites inside the city? 3 years. Starving mothers ate their newborn babies. You don't want to think of this. But you know, this is where disobedience leads us. What a price to pay for willful stubbornness. Don't be stubborn. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you a kind heart. Verse 6, in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and Israel away to Assyria and placed them in Hala and by the Habor, the river of Gozan, in the cities of the Medes. That's modern Iran. So the 10 tribes were spread all over the ancient world. This is a sad story. This was not God's plan. And he's got a plan for you and me. Let's follow him in obedience and enjoy spiritual prosperity. We have a choice as to who we want to be the master in our lives. There are only two bosses, God and the adversary. The one is a kind master. The other one is cruel. He deceives people by telling them, you'll have prosperity, follow me. Don't follow him, follow God. Look at this. Flaying victims. Now, why did God allow this? You've got a few questions. Why does God allow this or that? Verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. The God who delivered them were rejected. And the gods of imagination, they worshipped. We can be so stupid. And had walked in the statues of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. 9. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. You know, we know what is right and what is wrong. And they built for themselves high places in all their cities. This was false worship. From watchtower to fortified city places for pagan worship. Wherever you went, there was the temples of prostitution. High places. At these centers, gross forms of immorality accompanied idolatrous worship. So when you read the term high place in the Bible, this is a red light. The native fertility cults of the land involved the worshippers in most shameful practices. You know, one of the Psalms, Psalms 91, I lift my eyes up to the hills. And then he cries out, from where shall my help come from? Because up there were temple prostitutes, male and females. Our help comes from God. The high places are still around us. Ask God to help you, preserve you. From tower to fortified city. This means extend from one end of the country to the other. The meaning is that the high places were established everywhere, in remote rural areas as well as in the great centers of population. Man, the devil marketed his rubbish very well. From border to border, from top to bottom, they had these temples of the cults. Prostitution temples. They practiced the religion of sensualism. They went there and they felt good every time they went. Verse 10 and 11, they set up for themselves sacred pillars, more, and wooden images on every high hill, and under every green tree. You know, how long would God tolerate this? There they burnt incense on the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them, and they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. They were to clean the land of this rubbish, and now they were even excelling the previous nations, the Canaanites who lived there. And you know, God wept. This went on for about 2 centuries before God stepped in and wiped them out, because he's a fair God. Verse 12, for they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing, because this was demonic. God wanted to save them from the demons. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all his prophets, every seer saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. God pled with them. You know, my father used to say to me, son, your book is almost filled up with iniquity. He was warning me. A hiding was coming. You know, I thought I was on page one, but I was at the last page, and I received my hiding. They were on the last page. Are you on the last page? Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks. Rebellion. Like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe in the Lord their God. How sad. Verse 15, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols and became idolaters. The thing that you worship becomes you. We should worship something higher than what we can see and feel. Only God is worthy of our worship. And went after the nations who were around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. You know, God's law is protective. If you obey, you are safe and you are free. When you disobey, you're in bondage. God wants the best for us. Please listen to him and ignore the adversary. 16. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and 2 calves, made a wooden image and worshipped all the host of heaven and served. And they caused their, now this is so sad, they caused their sons and daughters to pass through fire. Can you believe it? People say we serve the God of the Old Testament was a cruel God. I think he was so patient. Burning children. You think he could let this go on unpunished? Witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Satan took possession of them. And they challenged God. They ignored him. Therefore, now we've had a good description of what they did. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel. Now, in the Septuagint, it says he was very sorry. He does not anger like we anger. His anger is, I'm so sorry. And removed them from his sight. And he wept. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. How sad. Who else were involved in Samaria? Now let's look at the history books. It tells us that Shalmaneser died during the last year of the siege, 722. Who was his successor? I feel sorry for these escapees swimming to safety, because the next king was called Sargon II. Once captured by the Syrians, they will be exiled to a strange land of hardships. So they're trying to escape. But the Assyrians were there with their bow and arrow to kill them. What do you see on this relief? That kind of a balloon made of skin, I think, trying to escape. But look there, the Assyrians are watching them, shooting them. This is the Tigris and the Euphrates and other rivers. When Assyrian arrows hit their inflated skins, they drowned. What are the chances of survival? There were no chances of survival when Assyria, in those days, attacked a city. And you know, for 200 years, Israel could have changed their attitude and be prosperous. But their disobedience led them into captivity. Are you in a similar predicament right now as these poor swimmers? You don't know how to get out. You know, God is always ready when you come to Him to help you. No matter how wicked you are, He's such a living God, loving, loving God. Victorious Assyrians pursuing their enemies. Just look at this. Is the enemy of divorce pursuing you? There are so many enemies. This is a terrible enemy. What do you see here? Captives being led to Assyria. Are you being led into exile to a foreign land of loneliness, tears, rejection? Maybe you have lost your health and are being exiled to the foreign land of pain and the land of invalids. Is the hopeful people who have lost everything, and now we see it in the world, there are millions of exiles. Is the hope for this world of tears, tragedy, pain, and death? And things are getting worse, as you observe. My fellow hurting friend, I have extremely exciting good news for you. Jesus, the sinner's friend who died for our sins, is coming soon to rescue us from this land of bondage, this tragedy, this misery. He says in Revelation 21 verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, how do you wipe away a tear? You cannot use a remote control. When you wipe tears, you come very close to someone, touch them lovingly, and wipe their tears. God is going to take you in His arms. And He's going to remove tears, symbols of pain, forever. This is the land that's awaiting us. There's no future in this old planet. There shall be no more death. Maybe you've buried someone lately. We're all on our way to a funeral service somewhere. Nor sorrow. Some sorrows are chronic. Nor crying for a child, a wayward child. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Heaven is going to be a place of eternal joy. I want to be there. How many words will be absent from heaven's dictionary? Locks, insurance policies, pharmacies, You know, there's such a long list of miseries in our dictionaries, but in heaven you will not find any of these words. Eternal security. I once read a psychological book called Psychological Encyclopedia of Psychological Problems. And the psychologist says our greatest problem is insecurity. You know, we cannot trust people, but in heaven it will be eternal security. I'm looking forward to that. Eternal health. The older you grow, the more miserable you become. But in heaven, there will be eternal health. Can you imagine that? Eternal happiness. Nobody to disturb your happiness. It's hard for me to imagine a place like this. But this is the God we serve, and He wants you in heaven. Eternal bliss. What must we do to be there? It is so easy and so difficult as well. Confess our weaknesses. Tell Him. He wants to hear it because He wants to help you. Confess our weaknesses and accept God's gift of forgiveness and everlasting life. Don't let the devil hold you back from this surrender. How can one say no to eternity and to God? Had Israel heeded the messages of the prophets, they would have been spared the humiliation that followed. Heeded the messages. Is God speaking to your heart? Please heed the message. He's got good news for you. It was because that persisted in turning aside from His law that God was compelled to let them go into captivity. There was nothing more He could do for them. Only when we reach this stage that He allows us to reap what we've sown. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, was His message to them through Hosea. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, not to burn your child in the fire, I will also reject thee, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. In every age, transgression of God's law has been followed by the same result. In the days of Noah, when every principle of right doing was violated, and iniquity became so deep and widespread that God could no longer bear with it, the decree went forth. I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth. In Abram's day, the people of Sodom openly defied God and His law, and they followed the same wickedness, the same corruption, the same unbridled indulgence that had marked the antediluvian world. This is the lower state, the terrible, degraded state in which the 10 tribes found themselves. Like the antediluvians, people before the flood. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. And God had to wipe them away. The inhabitants of Sodom passed the limits of divine forbearance. And there was kindled against them the fire of God's vengeance. You know, the Lord said to Abram, listen, I want to destroy these cities. And Abram said, please, God, maybe there are 50 righteous people. And there were millions there. It was the best populated, fertile place on the planet. 50? Yes, I'll do it. 40? He came down to 10. And only then did He destroy them. The time preceding the captivity of the 10 tribes of Israel was one of similar disobedience and of similar wickedness. God's law was counted as a thing of naught, and this opened the floodgates of iniquity upon Israel. The Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, Hosea declared. And our wicked planet is going the same way. God is going to destroy the wicked. We don't need them in heaven. God is going to get rid of them. But he's going to weep when this happens, because he loves every sinner. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. They were so wicked. The prophecies of judgment delivered by Amos and Hosea were accompanied by predictions of future glory. God always gives us the bright side when he reprimands us. To the 10 tribes, long rebellious and impenitent, was given no promise of complete restoration to their former power in Palestine. It all ended in 722. Until the end of time, they were to be wanderers among the nations. Maybe you've seen it, I've seen it. But through Hosea was given a prophecy that set before them the privilege of having part in the final restoration that is to be made to the people of God at the close of earth's history. So God is pleading with individual Jews from the 10 tribes from that time till now. That's the individual. When Christ shall appear as King of kings and Lord of lords, many days, the prophet declared, the 10 tribes were to abide without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an effort and without teraphim. Afterward, the prophet continued, shall the children of Israel return? What a beautiful word, return. And seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. So if you're a Jew, somewhere upon this planet, God says he's still pleading for you to come and accept him and the Messiah who came 2,000 years ago. In symbolic language, Hosea set before the 10 tribes God's plan of restoring to every penitent soul who would unite with his church on earth the blessings granted Israel in the days of their loyalty to him in the promised land. Referring to Israel as one to whom he longed to show mercy, the Lord declared, and I like this, this is a piece of romance, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. He's referring to the Exodus. And speak comfortably unto her. Beautiful words. Speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Beautiful promise. He tells her how he rescued her from slavery and how he got married at the altar of Sinai, where he made a covenant with them. And this is a message to every individual. God wants you to come to him, to get married to him. Close relationship. Hosea 2:15. I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth. Have you stopped singing? Are you heartbroken? The Lord wants you to sing again and be happy. As in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. You know, Miriam led about 600,000 women to sing a chorus. And Moses, 600,000 men. Oh, they were so happy when they were delivered. God wants to deliver you, and he wants you to sing. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, and no longer call me master. God doesn't want to be your master. He wants to relate to you in a very intimate relationship. Husband, not master. The symphony of love continues. He wants to be a lover rather than a stern master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, adultery, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. We're going to get new names. At the end of time, the Lord will renew his covenant of love with his law-abiding people. Please be obedient to God. Verse 18, in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. We are going to a safe land, my friend. 19 and 20, I will betroth you to me forever. A relationship which will never sever. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you lost a husband or a wife. But in heaven, the relationships will last forever. And it's going to be more meaningful and happy. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. The fountains of happiness will be discovered throughout eternity, and our happiness will increase forever. This is what God wants to give us. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. Now look at this coming down. The earth shall answer the grain coming down with wine and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. The source of Israel's prosperity is depicted in verses 21 and 22 by a graphic descending climax. God answers the heavens. The heavens answers the earth, and the earth answers the crops. Thus material prosperity of Israel is traced by the prophet to its proper source, the giver of all good things. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. You know, we want to belong to someone. God says, come and belong to me. You are my people. And they shall say, oh, this is so beautiful. You are my God. There's nothing like a relationship with God. Is there a hopeful future for repentant sinners? I don't care what your situation is. God is a God of love. And when you come to Him, you're going to build up a relationship with the one who created you, every cell in your body. Our next lecture, this is going to be fascinating. The general who fought against Samaria with Shalmaneser the Fifth became the next king of Assyria, and he called himself Sargon the Second. I went to this interesting site. It was desolate, but I took my picture. You're looking at it. I want to show you what I found right here in Iraq. It's just above Nineveh. And this is the man. Father in heaven, an adversary wants to lead us astray into sensual rubbish. But you're a God that wants to take us to eternal happiness. Speak to us and help us to confess and relent and become citizens of an eternal kingdom of peace and happiness and health, a land without death. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.